Hello everyone, we are Day One Update, and my name is Gokomo. I'm joined by my two friends here.
Hi, Mayor.
Hi, I'm Golzar. And there this is go. Totally not the fourth time we started this podcast.
Let's just say that Air was really happy that his name is Air and keeps saying it over and over again.
Hi, my name is Air.
All right, so...
My name is Air.
Hello, Air.
How you doing?
Okay, so...
We are Day One Update.
Yes. So we are going to be discussing some news that happened over the past 2 weeks, I guess, whatever.
We'll fudge it. It's our first one. We have some room
so
to...
I'm just going to say I'm kind of sick. You can tell if I'm sniffling a lot, I'm sorry, but it's just the way it is. I can't really control it, so.
And if he blows your ears out with a sneeze by peeking the microphone, well...
We'll try to edit it in post.
Don't worry about that. Yeah. But, so we're going to be covering some news that happened the past 2 weeks. I might not cover everything, but we're just going to be covering the stuff that interests us. So, sorry if we don't cover your favorite game or TV show.
Hey, but if you want to let us know, we can always...
yeah, we'll see.
...field suggestions.
So, we're going to be starting off with the Nintendo Direct that happened a little while ago about the new Pokemon games that were finally announced for the 2019 year. So, last year we had the Let's Go Eevee, but we knew that was going to be like sort of a small spinoff game just to get into the groove with the Switch. And this one is going to be their full-fledged Pokemon game, and it's announced that their titles are going to be Pokemon Shield and Pokemon Sword. So we're letting go of those colors now. The colors are gone, and we're going to be going with Sword and Shield, which sounds aggressive, but whatever.
Well, we had X and Y.
We had Diamond and Pearl.
The Sword and Shield just sounds a lot more aggressive.
There are Pokemon that are just swords, right?
There is one from X and Y that is legit a Sword and Shield.
Yeah. And Shield.
Is Aegislash. Like, it's actually pretty cool because you could switch between shield mode and sword form. And it boosts defense and attack stats.
I would laugh if that Pokemon's not even.
My main question is, who's buying Shield? Honestly.
The funny thing is, my friend messaged me today and he's like, hey, so which one are you going to pick up? I'm like, I called Sword. He's like, screw you. You shouldn't have asked.
So there's always like a disproportionate amount of people who get the first title. And obviously people are going to pick Sword more. So I'm picking Shield so I have more people to trade with.
Yeah. So like that's what me and my friend do, right? He's going to get Shield now since I'm getting Sword. So
yeah, but I would always prefer to get the second one because even if it's less popular, it's going to... Well, first of all, it's going to be the same game. Yeah. The Legend's going to be different. Yeah, we don't know what the Legends are going to be, but I have more people to trade with now.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So in the Direct, they announced a few things. So some of the things they showed is the map. They showed some gameplay of it, which is kind of the same as Let's Go Eevee, Let's Go Pikachu. Kind of the same graphic style, same gameplay, other than the stupid catching they had in Let's Go Eevee that I'm hoping to get rid of. And they also showed the starters. So the three starters they have, grass, fire, water, which is Grookey, Squirtle, and Sobble. One of them is like a grass, I don't know what that is, a lemur?
Grass monkey?
It's like a grass lemur. And then you have a fire bunny and a reptilian or lizard.
Water.
What do you think of these starters? Because this is not the design.
From what I've been reading and stuff, nobody likes Squirtle or Grookey. Everybody likes Sobble.
I've seen a lot of love for Squirtle, which I don't get because he looks like a cereal mascot, like a American-made cereal mascot. I don't like his face or his smile.
But it also looks like he has a Band-Aid in between his eyes for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that could just mean he's a fighting Pokemon.
Oh my god, another firefighting Pokemon.
Probably will be. Probably kicks or something, like with his feet. But
Sobble looks like the Pokemon that everybody bullies.
From what I remember reading, it's a chameleon type Pokemon. That's why it could go invisible.
Yeah, that's a cool thing. But I'm like, if I had to pick one, which I'm gonna have to if I get the game, I'd kind of lean towards Grookey, but.
I'd get Squirtle.
Yeah,
I'm a fire starter.
Well, it's going to depend on what my friend picks. So let's see. We'll see when the game comes.
You're going to get the stronger one, right? If he picks fire, you pick water.
No, actually, for black and white, I picked Snivy, which is the weakest, but he was still my favorite looking wise.
Sure.
Okay. Well, sorry. But so there are leaks about the evolutions, but as usual, there's always leaks that are never real. Like it's just random drawings.
There are also leaks about the legends, which
is there?
Oh yeah. I'll tell you after the
wolf type.
Wolf type.
Wolf type. If you look at the Sword and Shield, it's a wolf.
What are you saying, wolf or woof?
Wolf, like W O L F.
I still hear woof woof, like bark
wolf.
Bark.
Wolf. Okay.
Okay. Sure.
So yeah, people have their opinions of starters. It happens every single time a new Pokemon game is announced. People don't like the starters. People don't like how their designs. But whatever.
I'm very interested in the the location, because
the location is very interesting. I was just about to get into that. So they did show the map, and it is interesting because it is very vertical, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at it, there's not much of a horizontal width to it. It's like a really long island, basically. It sort of has like a Scotland type feel to it that I've read.
London.
It's based
on Great Britain.
Yeah. It has like the Scottish Alps at the top and stuff like that. The snow mountains.
So, have you guys seen the memes of the main character, specifically the female main character, being a drunk Scottish, boisterous, a sailor swearing brat? Those are my favorite.
I haven't seen that one.
My concern with it, I saw the map, and everybody's saying, oh, it's going to be big. But from what I saw on the map, I feel like the world is really small.
I feel like it's, considering it's technically the first mainline console game, excluding Let's Go series, it could have been bigger. And I know that this is just the first of the console game, so it has, we can give it a bit of leniency to make it, to have it look exactly like the 3DS games.
Can but we, though?
Yeah, I mean, I hope it doesn't stay like this. I hope the next console game is going to be a dramatic difference.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like Breath of the Wild.
It just looks like a prettier 3DS Pokemon, unfortunately. Yeah. And Mr. Klemps on YouTube, who's pretty popular, you might know him, did a pretty good video about why he doesn't like how all the 3D sprites are pretty much the same. Because when they were drawn sprites, every Pokemon was drawn differently generation to generation.
Yeah,
but since they moved to 3D, the Pikachu idle stance has been the same since.
I've been pretty adamant about that too. Like ever since, like Black and White, those series are by far my favorite Pokemon games, and it had that sprite and the animated sprite movement type of art to it, and I loved that. Mm-hmm. That's probably my favorite looking Pokemon game. Yeah. And then they went into 3D, and they had the 3D sprites. I never really liked the 3D sprites for the 3DS games. So like for Sun and Moon and X and Y, I never really liked the 3D sprites, but it's getting a bit better with this one. Like it's a bit clearer, it's a bit crisper. Like it wasn't as pixelated as the 3DS games. So we'll see how it looks out. But I still miss the old 2D sprites.
Yeah. And we should mention, of the three of us on the table, Garkmo, you are the Pokemon.
Yeah, I'll definitely be getting it, and I'll be putting quite a bit of hours into it. I basically beat every single Pokemon game.
Oh, by chance, have you seen the deleted tweet that Nintendo of America accidentally put out today?
No, I haven't.
So, gyms are confirmed, more or less. Nintendo of America put out a tweet, and they deleted it pretty much right away, but people screencapped it. It says, appears that in Pokemon Sword and Shield, that gyms in the Galar region are now bigger than ever. What types of gym masters are waiting for you to challenge them? You and your new partner Pokemon will have to train hard and find out. And they put two pictures of just your player character walking in an arena.
Gyms are bigger than ever.
Yeah, yes. So in the direct and the map, you see these giant coliseums, right? So people were assuming that there were going to be coliseums, and those weren't the gyms.
Yeah, like
this sort of confirms that those are the gyms.
Yeah, right? and one of these pictures is like it shows the player character walking into a football stadium, like a soccer stadium.
Yeah.
So
people thought there were like tournament zones.
It's also one thing they try to get away from that whole gym formula with Sun and Moon. If you remember the whole.
Mm-hmm.
Each island had its own, the like, trials. Hakuna or whatever.
Trials.
Right? Yeah, the trials. And it seems like they're trying to find an in-between now, I guess, if it's the Colosseum type thing. They're trying to find an in-between between gym and that thing.
I really hope that, you know how this tweet says gym masters?
Yeah.
I hope they replace gym leaders with gym masters, because that sounds a lot cooler.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for it still. I'm always excited for a new Pokemon game. Always a new adventure to go on with catching the Pokemon. Just got to catch them all and everything. Yeah,
we got to see a bit of the world.
I really hope Pokemon Bank is integrated into it, because I have.
Well, if it's a mainline series, then it should be.
This is the first Switch game, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know how Pokemon, because there was an issue with going from DS to 3DS and getting the Pokemon transferred to it. So we'll see how they handle it with this one. But I really hope Pokemon Bank is integrated quickly. So
are there any specific hopes you particularly want to see?
I just hope that it's a big game. Like Sun and Moon was nice because it had different islands, so there's different like. Environments to explore, and this one does look, it has quite a bit, but I don't see like a big forest other than the one at the top left, which is kind of a forest, but like it's mostly plains and then mountains.
Do you want to see old generation Pokemons other than Pikachu?
Definitely.
Like would you rather have like a mix of old and new, or would you just have pure new generation Pokemon?
Mix of old and new.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
We only saw the starters that were new. Everything else was from previous generations.
But like every generation has about 150 Pokemons in the new ones.
Yeah. There's no way they're fitting them all in this.
You can have 150 and then a mix of some of the old ones or new ones that might be in this environment. If Aegislash is not in this game, I'm going to riot because it makes no sense.
Actually, I didn't play much of Sun and Ultra Sun and Moon, but how did they handle that? Like, were all the Pokemon available technically that ever were made if they were traded in through Pokemon Bank? Like, did they make models and Pokedex entries for every single Pokemon?
Yeah.
Like 900.
Because the point of the game is to catch everything, right? So it's mostly trading in that point. So, like, they have models for every single Pokemon in the game that you could put in. So if you go back in a game, you can't have newer models in the old game. That's the only thing. But they have the old, newer models. They have the models for all the old Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we'll see how many... We'll see, like, when the National Dex comes out, when it's revealed how many Pokemon are in it. If it'll be bigger than any other game, then that'll be a lot more interesting. That'll be pretty cool. A lot more Pokemon than any other Pokemon game before. So I'm pretty excited for it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to play it for sure.
Yeah, we just got to wait and see what else is up with that game.
Yeah, this is. I'm assuming they're going to have more information in the coming months because it's going to release at the end of this year for sure. And the pre-orders are not up yet. I just checked, sadly.
What do you guys
no, think? They are, actually. I will send you some links afterwards. Okay.
Yeah. Right, do you guys think they're going to do region-specific Pokemon? How they do with the...
Always. What do you mean region-specific? Like, different between the two games, or...
No. I mean, like, what they did with the last one. You had the Hawaiian versions of...
Alolan versions.
Yeah, Alolan versions. Yeah.
I don't think so. Because they can kind of say Alolan because different climate.
But now we have multiple climates in this. We have a snowy region. We have a desert region.
But every Pokemon had snowy regions and lava regions and whatnot. And I don't think... Were Alolan Pokemon popular?
Like, yeah, some people like them. They were. I feel
some people liked a lot of people liked the ice version of Ninetales.
Yeah.
Yes. I love the is it Mega Executor or just Alolan Executor? The
Alolan Executor.
Okay, ridiculously long neck one. Yeah. It's amazing.
It was a pretty interesting spin. We'll see. We have like no news on like the Pokemon of this game, so we're going to see when news comes out. But and a lot of people are like every Pokemon game, everyone's going to say, "Oh, is it going to have two regions?" Like, I remember when the 3DS games came out, they're like, "Oh, is it going to have two regions?"
Yeah, that's a pipe dream.
Yeah, it's a pipe dream. Like, the only game that ever did that was HeartGold and SoulSilver, or the original
original, so yeah.
Yeah, so okay. hopefully they add some new stuff to it. So we're going to continue on, and we're going to go straight to EA skipping E3, which was announced a little while ago.
Going the way of Sony,
deciding
to not.
Do you guys think it has anything to do with Anthem, why they're skipping it?
Anthem and
the fact that they probably had nothing to show. The last two times they came to E3, it was trash.
What was the game that came out before Anthem that bombed? Andromeda.
Andromeda, right? Andromeda was a year ago, 2016, I think.
I feel like there's something in between those two.
They keep canceling Halo. I mean, Star Wars games.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah, that's true.
They only have Battlefront. Right, for that.
And even Battlefront is not popular.
Right, and so I feel like the reason they're...
It's legitimately... All they have is Apex Legends.
Last E3 was the third time EA had their own press conference, I believe. Third or fourth? It's something not, they, like that. Yeah, they didn't do many.
I think it was the first time where they didn't rely so hard on concept art and stuff like they did when they first
had that was a terrible one.
Yeah.
Right, they had nothing to show. And if you could hear Gugumel sneezing over there, remember he is sick. but yeah, like so, I'm pretty sure they're skipping E3 for one. The reason where Sony was like, "Yeah, we're gonna skip it because it doesn't make financial sense," and Layden just doesn't like E3.
Well, Sony makes sense because they straight up said, and not only did they're not saying it last minute, but they said it about a year ago, like, yeah, we're not going to be here because we have nothing to show, and they're probably prepping for PS5. EA just came out really recently, and it's probably because Anthem.
Anthem and its bad press that it got over the past.
I don't feel like it's just Anthem. I feel like the last... I don't feel like one game is enough for you to stop E3, right?
No, it's also various other things. So, like, they probably don't have enough games
exactly
to show. They're probably relying on post game content to show for Anthem, but since Anthem is such an issue right now, they don't really see any point of having Anthem as their big seller. Yeah.
They don't want to do another E3 with just concept art.
Do we like, want to talk about the issues of Anthem? Because I feel like that'll be the Fallout 76 trap where we
Anthem
just...
Anthem basically destroys your PS4s.
Yes.
Until they fixed it.
Well, there were a couple of reports saying it bricked your PS4. I don't know if they were true because there were like two or three insulated incidents.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people saying it just shut your PS4 off. Error, you mentioned like you knew a couple people.
Yeah, I had a few friends who the system crashed on them, and then they're like, when the news tried to come out saying that it was breaking PS4s, they're like, you know what, we're not gonna play this game.
Till so it wasn't completely bricked their PS4, it just crashed.
Yeah, it crashed it a few times.
And yeah, then, but at that point, why would you even risk it?
Yeah,
you know. And not only that, like, did you? There was a bug recently where people were getting like late game weapons. And
no, it was maybe that's one of the bugs. One of the bugs was their level one gear, right? Were stronger,
That's
than late game weapons,
That was a bug, or at least BioWare claimed it was a bug. But there were a bunch of other ones where it's like, oh, like you can get legendary gear that has zero damage. So, let's say you pick up like a legendary gear, it has a attack ceiling of like a stat of 500. But there's no minimum ceiling, so you could very well pick up a legendary gun and it says one attack because there's no minimum.
Yeah.
So people have picked up grenade launchers that don't explode. People have picked up flamethrowers that say it does zero fire, extra fire damage, and does zero attack. Like that game was supposedly in development for 6 years, but like who knows how many times it got restarted and.
Well, they're saying Anthem's been in development before Destiny, right? And it's kind of ridiculous that if it hasn't been in development for that long, a game shouldn't have these type of bugs.
I'll give it this. If it looks great,
yeah.
Right? The soundtrack is great, right?
Flying
mechanic is so good, right? It's so much fun, right? It's just the game is played with all these gameplay issues.
And people are saying there's nothing to do. Like, there was one streamer, like one of the few people who are probably streaming Anthem, who found an exploit and was like, all right, I'm just going to do this exploit because there's nothing else to do. And he got banned.
Yeah.
So like one of your biggest draws, you banned
but him. But it was only temporary ban from what I remember.
It was permanent. And then after people found that like people were raising an issue, it was dropped down to a 2-week ban. But he's still banned for 2 weeks, which is ridiculous.
So one question is, what do you guys think is going to happen to BioWare?
I don't think they're going to. I think
after Andromeda and then right after with this.
EA said time and time again, Andromeda is not. The Andromeda bombing is not the end of BioWare, we promise. And then they said, no matter what happens with Anthem, BioWare will survive. Don't worry, we promise. I don't trust EA.
Sadly enough, I feel like BioWare is still one of their best studios.
Honestly?
Even though they're being hit with all these like issues, I still feel like they're one of the best visually and one of the best developing studios that they have next to, what was the other one, DICE? Or Frostbite, with the Frostbite engine.
Honestly, I'm surprised that it looks like Respawn is going to outlive BioWare of all companies, because Respawn, Titanfall 2 bombed. And
Respawn as well,
And because everybody complained, like, EA, why would you launch Titanfall 2 at the same day as your own game of Battlefield? Apparently, Respawn insisted. They did not want to capitulate to Battlefield, and it bit them in the ass. And now, Respawn is one of their more successful games, because Apex Legends is taking on Fortnite and is doing a damn good job of it too. So this is like some weird really Twilight Zone stuff at EA.
Yeah, I feel like they're not worried, man. EA always does weird stuff.
So the only ones left for really E3 for presentations is Microsoft. We have Ubisoft, Bethesda, but we don't know what's going to happen with Bethesda.
Oh, man.
A lot of people are assuming they're going to not do anything because it's 76.
If that's true, then that kind of cements that they're copying EA. Like it might give... a notice about EA's motives about skipping E3, because if Bethesda's skipping, it's going to be 100% because of Fallout.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, because, like, what are they going to show? Post-game content for a game that no one's playing? Like, they're going to show... The only thing they could really show is their new Elder Scrolls game or their new IP game.
Nope, they can't. But, like, they can't show Elder Scrolls because that's coming out after their new IP.
I don't even think they have anything for it.
They even said that they didn't even really start development for it.
Yeah,
right? Last year they just announced the names, which was really stupid. I don't know why they did that.
I don't know why people freaked out about the name.
Well, according to last E3, Tom said that the new game...
Todd,
my bad. Todd said that the new game, what was it, Stardust or Star...
Some generic ass space name.
Yeah, he's like, they have a playable build for that, right? This was last E3, right? However, Elder Scrolls, they have nothing, right? So maybe this E3, we might get to see a bit more of that
And they said it's going to be using the same engine, which I'm not very happy with.
Oh, I was literally about to say, all I want is just new engine. They could come out to E3 and say, we're getting rid of the old engine, we're starting to develop a new engine, and then just end the conference there, and I'd be happy.
Well, according to Todd Howard, it's an engine that just works, so...
Not very well, clearly.
Well, let's continue on. They didn't really reveal too much, but there was a video that came out a few days ago about Cyberpunk 2077, and they basically talked about the gap between what happened in between the gap from when they first announced Cyberpunk, so that CG trailer with the personal responsibility song, if you remember that, like years ago.
For those of you who don't know,
is that the 20-minute?
It was like 1 minute trailer.
For those of you that don't know, Cyberpunk is the CD Projekt Red's new game. It's a future steampunk.
It's based on the board game called Cyberpunk 2020, something like that.
And CD Projekt Red are the people who made Project. The Witcher series.
Yeah. Apparently, it's pronounced Projekt. The J is, yeah, CD Projekt Red.
Whatever. But so this video basically detailed what happened in between when they first revealed the game, so like years ago, and when they did the 40-minute gameplay trailer. And they didn't reveal too much. It's just like how they went through the stages and like why they went silent and stuff like that. But I just wanted to talk about what you guys thought of Cyberpunk, if you guys are getting it, playing it, or like...
Honestly?
Day one buy.
For me, yeah.
Not... Like,
did you play any of the Witcher games?
Yeah, I played a lot of Witcher 3 at Air's house, actually.
You played a lot of Gwent.
Oh, man.
Oh, we played so much Gwent.
Isn't that what I said? there's some weird, like, sword... play some side missions around it, but the Gwent is amazing.
It's mostly Gwent, right?
I like cyberpunk aesthetic, like I like all those kind of dystopian tech storylines. Cyberpunk visually just does not interest me as much, but whatever they reveal in the future could turn around. It just looks like a prettier Deus Ex, and I wasn't a big fan of the new Deus Ex games.
I like Revolution?
They're good.
Nah, not so much.
Okay. What did you think about the gameplay trailer? That was 40-minute.
It was 40 minutes. I liked it, but I didn't trust that it was really as
good as it looked,
as free as they claim it's going to be. Okay. Like they say, you can do all of these things, but I'm pretty sure it's going to follow the exact same story beat, which is fine. Like, I don't mind linear games. It's just the promise of all of the... Look, you have the freedom of shooting these guys this way or using a bomb. That's not really freedom of how to play the mission, but it looks pretty neat.
No, I have faith. In any studio, it's them. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the way they market their games, the way they make their games, the way they care about their customer base.
I'm glad they're honest and transparent.
Yeah, not only that, but like, even in today, you buy Witcher, you get stickers, you get the soundtrack, you get the map.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, who does that?
It's not DLC. It's not day one edition.
Their DLCs were basically expansions. Like, they were massive DLCs, and they were like $20 for both of them. It was well worth the money, and man, those DLCs were fantastic.
Yeah, they were games on their own.
Yeah, I think the world that they introduced in the second DLC was as big as some open world games. Like, it's insane.
They started as a piracy group, of all things. So, yeah, exactly. they would know what customers would want.
So I have full faith in them. And whatever they say they think that their game is capable of doing, right? Let's just say it's not capable of doing as much as they say, right? I'm pretty sure they'll be able to word it in a way, be like, yo, listen, it wasn't feasibly possible, but we give you this. Like, they're very transparent in what I feel. They're very...
I still think it's gonna be a great game, no matter what really happens with it. I still think it's gonna be a really good game.
Yeah,
and I'm massively excited for it. I played Witcher 3 to death. I played it so much.
By the time it comes out, I'm sure I'll have time to play it.
Yeah. Well, they didn't release any. They haven't released any window or gap or like what time it's coming out. They always say it'll come out when it's ready. Yeah.
So. I should also mention, games like Red Dead Redemption don't interest me that much. Like, I find like when games get too big and there's too much to do that. I start losing interest. Okay, yeah. I'm a big Zelda fan. I haven't played Breath of the Wild. I'll borrow it off of one of you if I have time, but I'm not aching to play it.
Yeah, there are a lot of people like that. A lot of people feel like when you get too much freedom, you kind of lose the motivation to keep playing. But I'm the complete opposite. I love open world games.
I do like some open world games, and I like the act of exploring, and it's just,
I think it's as we get older, we have less time to run around on a map for 100 hours, 120 hours. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, no, we need those 40-hour games. We need those 20-hour games. Like, I need to beat this, play it, enjoy it. right? I don't have time to sit here to on a horse to go from one end of the map to the other. That's going to take me an hour.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like...
But I just true. Love the exploration because, like, in Odyssey and even in, like, Witcher 3, like, you will find a cave and then you find, like, someone's body and you find trails of blood and then you and it leads you to, like, this campsite or, like, a note or something. And it gives you sort of, like, a feeling of what happened in that cave or, like, mm-hmm. how did this guy die? It's, like,
yeah, Witcher's
finding
very,
those little story detail. Bits is always really nice to me. Like, yeah. I always like finding that stuff out. If it makes you feel like
yeah.
a detective,
I hope Cyberpunk is as good as Witcher 3 because I yeah. from what I've played of Witcher 3, I did actually really love it.
Yeah, so Cyberpunk, I'm actually looking really forward to it. But sadly, we have no release date, so we have no idea when it's coming out. So
what do you guys think? When do you guys think it's going to come out?
Well, from whatever there is an article that released that they said that it's nowhere near completed,
which is why I wanted to pose this question for you. Do you think it's going to come out before or after Death Stranding? I'm willing to take bets on this.
When do you think Death Stranding is going to
come
out?
So Hideo Kojima himself said, okay, admittedly, Death Stranding is a little bit behind schedule. But that makes me think that the 29 rumors, the rumors that it was going to come out in 2019 were true, and now they're not going to hit that target. But Cyberpunk, we've seen more of it, but yeah. CD Projekt Red themselves has said, yeah, we're nowhere near done.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know. It's interesting. They did show a lot
2019,
more.
You guys think? End of 2019?
I think Death Stranding will
not
come...
Not this year. No. I don't think it's going to be this year.
Death Stranding, I feel it will come out in mid-2020, around E3. I think Cyberpunk will come out at earliest late 2020, maybe 2021.
Do you think it's going to be cross-gen?
I don't think it's 2021.
What?
Do you think it's going to be cross-gen?
Yes. Cyberpunk?
It's going to be like this system and next system?
Yes. Oh, cross-gen. Sorry. Yeah.
Current gen and next gen, definitely.
Yeah, probably.
I'm pretty sure they've said it already.
I'm not sure if they said it. They didn't reveal too much about it like that. But maybe I'm wrong. But maybe they did.
It definitely will be on the current gen, like PS4 and stuff. But
I know Kojima mentioned something about it being on current and next. And I'm pretty sure CD Projekt Red did as well. But yeah, and we're only a year away from next gen happening.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited.
All right, so Cyberpunk, excited? Yes.
Yes.
So we're going to go on to Devil May Cry sells great.
I'm actually legitimately shocked. We don't have numbers yet, but we do know that at least on Steam, Devil May Cry has outsold Resident Evil 2 Remake, which is amazing because Resident Evil 2 Remake is so damn popular. And it's actually Capcom's second best-selling title on Steam behind Monster Hunter World.
It's funny because we actually did go to EB Games today just like a few hours ago. And I did ask them like, oh, do you guys still have Devil May Cry 5? I want to pick it up. And they're like, nah, it's been sold out. People have been coming left and right to come buy it. I'm like,
the
Jesus.
First time it's ever happened. Like I've ever seen that because I always considered, pre-orders are just for pre-order bonuses. Like you can always just pick it up. Like I've never seen that. I picked up my copy yesterday. Or it's not yesterday. Friday.
Friday was yesterday.
I picked up my copy on my home way from home. I loved it. Play the first two missions and...
You had to play the first two missions?
I played the prologue in chapter one.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting. I'm very much excited to go home and play it.
Yeah, and I have to wait until it comes back to stock, which is apparently Tuesday, so I have a few
Technically, I pre-ordered it, the special edition in two different locations, so they probably have a pre-order location for the PS4, the limited edition PS4, if you want to pick it up under my name.
I don't want it for PS4, though.
Yeah, I mean, actually there's very little... differences between the PS4 Pro and you don't have PS4 Pro.
I have a 4K screen, right? So like, and I don't have a PS4 Pro, but I have Xbox One X.
Yeah.
So it makes more sense for me to get on the Xbox One X.
That's true. So, okay.
You know what I said. When it comes into stock.
So, never mind.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really excited for the game. I haven't really played a lot of the old Devil May Cry's, but Gozar has, and I've seen him play it. So
I've played that demo. Okay, so since you have an Xbox and I don't, I came over to your place a lot just to play that demo.
Just to play the demo.
And I've gotten like quite a few S-ranks on it. I've got like S-rank like three, four times.
Yeah,
then I played the demo when it came out on PS4 because I was pro at home, and I never got an S-rank once. I feel like they made it harder. It's hard as hell to get an S-rank on that.
Yeah.
And I played that demo at least total of... I want to say like 2-3 hours, just that demo. It's just like a really small slice of chapter 2.
Yeah.
Man. I'm trying to think. Have we ever had a timed demo like we did with Devil May Cry?
A timed
What do you
demo?
Mean?
Like in a timed exclusive demo.
Oh, exclusive demo? You mean like for a single console?
Because
it
came out for the Xbox first and then...
Yeah, yeah, I remember that being a thing. I don't have specific examples, but I remember reading a list when the Xbox exclusive demo came out.
that there were some certain demos that only came out on one platform, even though it's a multi-platform.
No, no, I understand exclusive demos, but I've never seen a timed exclusive demo.
Technically, the demo is different. Like, it covers the same. Yeah, it's technically a different demo. And the first demo on Xbox, they removed it because the second demo is the same area, but it's upgraded. Like, they added attacks, they added functions and stuff like that to show off more of the game.
Yeah, I'm excited to play. I want to see all the different arms and stuff like that. And I really want to play as that beast tamer dude. He looks pretty cool.
It looks interesting. I'm excited to play.
He's definitely going to be dead by the end of the game. I'm calling it right now.
Are you going to play Devil May Cry?
I don't know yet. I've played a bit of all the other ones, but I've never actually sat down and finished a full game. I don't hate the series. I do enjoy it. I like the appeal of Dante and the world.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I don't have much familiarity with the game itself.
It's same thing with me, but this is probably my first Devil May Cry that I'm going to play beginning to end. Okay. I've just seen Gozara play Devil May Cry 3.
My only issue with this game is that I'm afraid if I get into it, I'm not going to understand majority of it because it's the fifth one in the series.
Yeah, well, I can tell you right now, the story is not why you play the game. It's there, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I want to know about Dante. I want to know about V. I want to know about
We have Gozara as our walking, talking Devil May Cry wiki, so...
Yeah, and hey, if you don't want to watch that actually pretty decent video that's built into the game, that's just the history of DMC, that covers 1, 2, 3, 4, and the anime.
Because I've watched you played 4.
Does it cover the
video? And I watched the anime.
No, that's not canon, man. Okay, you know what? How about this? Before I get into a whole spiel about Devil May Cry, we can record a little mini thing and upload it at a later date. Just me talking about Devil May Cry at you. Not with you, at you.
At me. It's just going to be Gulzar yelling at us for 20
because
minutes.
If we keep talking about Devil May Cry, I won't shut up. So you guys got to move on.
All right, so we're going to go on to... So we talked about Gulzar's favorite game. Let's go on to Air's favorite game. So we have Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say it's my favorite game, but it's definitely up there.
It's definitely one of your most excited games.
Yeah. But... Yeah, so we had a story trailer that just dropped. And oh my God, do you forget that this is a fighting game?
Right? I will say that I love fighting games as a genre, but the story modes are always trash compared to Mortal Kombat.
I understand the reason why some people don't like Mortal Kombat as a fighting game, right? Mm-hmm. But you can't talk bad about its story.
No, I can't. Right? I'm one of those people I don't particularly like the gameplay system and the style, although 11 looks greatly improved for a lot of my complaints, but the storyline since 9 has always been the
not
gold
even since
standard.
Line 9 they've had a pedigree since Mortal Kombat 1. They had a great movie. I would say the first movie was good, the second one kind of
I was thinking the way story mode, how you go
and
through all the characters.
So they've always had a story, right? Whether they showed it in a cutscene or writing or something, right? So back in the day it was kind of what even Tekken and Street Fighter still do. The story, there's a story there, but they don't show you the story, right?
They're usually locked behind, arcade mode.
You see a picture with some writing or...
And honestly, Tekken 7 and Marvel vs. Infinite, or for Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, they tried to copy Mortal Kombat story mode, and they both fell flat on their asses. They were terrible. Tekken 7 was less terrible, but...
It's because I feel like... No, that's wrong. I was going to say the characters are more developed, but Street Fighter and Tekken, their characters are pretty nicely developed too, right? So there is the people who are diehard fans of that, there is a story there. But however, Mortal Kombat has an actual story beyond the characters.
And we should mention, right? By Mortal Kombat, we're also including games like Injustice because they're very similar in terms of the way they have their story modes. They're NetherRealm Studios, right?
Well, the Injustice games have a pretty... Yeah, even those games have nice
It's just
story.
NetherRealm Studios does really good story modes.
Yeah, it's really weird, right?
I know next to nothing about Mortal Kombat story modes because I haven't played any of the games watched any of the movies.
You should.
Well, so I'm going to be coming to you guys.
Why are you talking? You should be playing right now.
Playing at this moment?
Yes.
I don't know if I...
Okay, we'll do another podcast of me... Going about yelling Mortal Kombat at you.
Yes.
So, am I going to have one where I get to yell at you guys?
No.
We'll think about it.
No, that doesn't happen.
Right. So, you're excited for Mortal. When is it coming out? When is it releasing?
April.
You guys know?
April.
Oh, it's pretty soon. Yes.
I think there's a beta. No, it's a beta coming out.
If you pre-order, you get an open beta. I'm not sure. I can't remember if there was an actual open beta for everybody.
When is the beta, though? March or April?
It's supposed to be this month. Yes.
Oh, ooh, that's close.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like, how are you liking the characters? How are you liking what the story mode is shaping up to be?
Okay, so from what I've seen so far, roster-wise, I feel that it is a little small, right?
And keep in mind, the roster did leak, but we're not talking about it right now. So
see, I actually don't even know what the leaked roster is.
Yeah, let's not
bring up the leaks. So from what they've showed us, right, I feel like the roster size is, it's going to be a small roster size in this game, right? And I'm afraid that since Mortal Kombat 9, Warner Brothers has been stepping in a little, being like, yo, get those microtransactions in, right? We need this money. So I feel like this 11 is going to be heavily influenced with microtransactions and more expensive but cheaper quality DLC.
I think we kind of have some idea for the microtransaction from Injustice 2. And I think it's just going to be the gear. Like the
it's probably mostly cosmetic, right?
Yeah, cosmetic appearance customization. How do you feel about that?
I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah?
Yeah. But however, this game focuses heavily on customization now, right?
That's true.
Now, appearance wise is okay, right? But each item you wear has a specific stat or combat stat or something. So there's three different there's a weapon, I believe a head gear, and there's one other thing.
I think it depends on character. Like Johnny Cage has a belt.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I think it depends per character.
Yeah, and they each give you something
like
right?
plus three health or green,
so they do
or
have
red
some,
health
or a fighting style.
So they do have some sort of gameplay effects to those gears.
But I imagine like if you want to use those online or against other people, you have to select a specific mode. Otherwise, it's just going to be
unfair. So okay, Mortal Kombat X10.
Yeah.
Right. Remember, he had three different fighting styles you had to pick between.
Do they not have that still?
Now it's a combination of that. You use the gear. Right, I believe this from what I remember. Use the gear to pick the fighting style you want, because people had issues with the other one. It was like, okay, I like this from this fighting style, and I like this from this fighting style, right? But I can't make them both.
Mortal Kombat 10 has gotten some pretty decent viewership in previous Evos. I wonder if that's why. Because like, how is a tournament like? How are you gonna get, let's say 100 people show up? How are you gonna get 50 PS4s getting all the gear unlocked for all the specific styles, and all the characters have to customize their character in a specific way to fit their?
No, see, like I feel like that's better, because for example, if you're fighting more of a ground opponent, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to make a character that can counter that.
Yeah, I know, but then every single time two players go in to pick a character and fight each other, they're going to have to customize their character and spend a bunch
which
of time
doesn't
on that.
Which doesn't take long.
But I think that because it's not a uniform thing, EVO would just say, no, we're not allowing that. Either stock characters with no customization at all or nothing. That's what EVO would do.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see. Maybe it's not an EVO thing that they're not coming. I didn't know they were not coming. Maybe it's a Warner Brothers NetherRealm thing that they're not coming. Maybe they want to do their own little tournament, right?
Yeah. I guess we'll see.
When it comes out, I'll definitely be going to Air's house and checking out the story for Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Yes. Is there anything else you want to mention about the story itself, like details?
So story-wise, it seems like this version, there's a new baddie, Kronika. She's basically manipulates time. And due to the actions of Mortal Kombat 9 and 10, the storyline has changed in a way that she's not happy with. So she's bringing characters from the past, or the characters from the present are going to the past, and they're fighting themselves and each other, right?
Is that why in the first trailer for Mortal Kombat 11 it showed two different scorpions?
Exactly. So we had one from the past and we had one from the present.
Okay.
Right?
When you say past, is it like the pre-Mortal Kombat 9 timeline or the... Like Mortal Kombat 1 to 8, like Deception and Armageddon and stuff like that?
Is it
that
time that I'm not 100% sure, right? It could be Mortal Kombat 9, or it could be Mortal Kombat 1, 2, or 3.
So pre-time skip, post-time skip, essentially, Mortal Kombat 10. Okay.
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 Interesting.
That's cool. Some of my favorite characters from 10, like, I think they're back. I like Cassie Cage a lot. I like Kotal Kahn a lot. And I like... Is Kotal Kahn back?
Yes, he's back.
Okay, and I like... Takeda, but I don't think he's confirmed, right?
Yeah, he hasn't been...
Probably DLC.
I can't remember how 10 ended off. It's been so long since I played it. So I have to go back and revisit that.
Mm.
I'm hoping for a bigger cast.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
I'm willing to look at it. Like, I haven't played a fighting game. I like watching fighting games a lot more than I play fighting games, so I'm not good at them.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
Honestly, I'm not a fighter in any way. Like, I don't like playing fighting games, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'll button mash and it's cool, right? But I'll pick up every single Mortal Kombat game just to go through the story.
Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of, we touched on Evo a bit, but we can talk about some other things. There are some controversial picks. Evo, which is the biggest fighting game tournament of the year, it started as a very much a Street Fighter tournament, and it became a lot more. Like, it included a bunch of other games. It's I think every June in Las Vegas. So they had a live stream announcing the all of the games, and there are some interesting choices and as well as exclusions. So I have the list of nine here. Here we go. Street Fighter V Arcade Edition. Not a particularly well game or a good game. A lot of people agree, but it's a Street Fighter game, so it has to be at Evo.
Yeah.
Tekken 7. Pretty popular. Negan's in it from Walking Dead. Yeah, that Negan.
Wait, what?
Negan's the latest DLC character.
That's right.
He has the bat, Lucille. Yeah, well, guess what? Noctis is also there. And Akuma from Street Fighter. Yeah. Smash Bros. Ultimate. Smash Bros. Ultimate, pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Biggest fighting game. A lot of people don't consider it a fighting game, but it's pretty much a fighting game.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat 11 is actually on Evo.
Okay.
There's Soul Calibur 6, which is surprising because that's a very casual game, in my opinion. Not a casual game, but it's more popular with casuals than professionals. Under Knife Inbirth, which is a super anime game. Like, I'm not that big of an anime fighter other than Guilty Gear, which did not make it. Dragon Ball FighterZ, which is the biggest, the biggest viewing.
Which
but
is it's also an anime fighter game.
Also an anime fighter game, yes, but it's more of a hyper fighting in terms of the genre, like a Marvel 3. Yeah. However, it's not going to be on Sunday. It's going to be on Saturday, which is weird because Sunday is where they place the big hitters. BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle. Anime fighters love it. I don't get the appeal myself. And a game that's not even out yet, Samurai Showdown. That's at Evo. It's essentially a reboot of a really old. You might have heard of it referred to as Sam Show.
Okay.
But there's no Melee, and there's no Guilty Gear. Guilty Gear, unfortunate because it's a great game, but Melee is the big one where people are freaking out. And
when was this list really announced?
Sometime last week.
Okay, so there's been enough time for like people to for it to settle in. How are people reacting to Melee not being in it?
There was a lot of outcry at first. A lot of people who play only Melee really pissed off. They were like, "I'm gonna have a counter tournament." Hungrybox, who's like the biggest. One of the biggest Melee players, he was like, I'm going to have a counter Melee tournament at the same weekend as Evo, which I think he changed now, but because a lot of people who play Melee also play Ultimate.
It makes no sense because this is Evo. It's one of the biggest fighting game competitions. Obviously, they're going to go with the times and try to change it up a bit.
And here's the thing. Melee still being there in 2018, you should be happy about it because no other fighting game has had that like longevity. Third Strike didn't have that longevity, and that's like the biggest Street Fighter and most beloved Street Fighter game of all time.
Melee has a huge competitive world still, so like there is other competitions for it.
Unfortunately, the thing is, it's always going to be the same eight people in the top eight for Melee. Whereas Ultimate, there's more freedom for diversity. Mm-hmm.
Are the people complaining? The top eight.
Mostly. Hungrybox is like has been number one all the time.
So they don't want to switch over.
Well, yeah, it is very much like switching. Okay, you played Mortal Kombat 9 for 20 years, and then you're expected to play Mortal Kombat 10, which is a very different game. Like, you can't just pick up Sub-Zero because you played Sub-Zero in the first one, because he plays differently. The mechanics are different. Like, even the most minute change could be catastrophic to your gameplay style. But it had a really good run.
Get good.
It's an old game. Like, I'm sorry it's not in Evo, but like, it's an old game. Like, yeah, they have to move on at some point.
Yeah. Just because you're good at one game, right? Like, use your skills, use your knowledge and stuff, and get good at another game.
Here's the thing. People who play Melee are inherently amazing at other fighting games. Like, the amount of execution it takes to get good at Melee at a competitive level, like, I don't know if you know, but Excellent Adventures with Mike Ross and Gutex was an old streaming YouTube series, essentially, where they play Street Fighter 4 on the couch with guests. And one time they had a Smash Brothers commentator, not a pro player, but a commentator, come in, and he had like a day of experience, and he was destroying everybody. Because like, yeah, these motions I'm doing on the fight stick, they're pretty simple compared to Melee. Like, yeah, they're really easy to do. I feel like I'm going in slow motion, and he's destroying everybody. Because Melee players are monsters.
Yeah. And like, I have a friend who plays mostly Melee at work. And whenever he plays during our Smash nights after work, he destroys everyone and then just dips. Like, he plays for 5 minutes, beats everyone, and then he's like, all right, I gotta go home.
Is he the mysterious, like, the drifter, the stranger
who just exactly. comes in? He just comes in, smiles, like, I guess I'll play one game, plays this Diddy Kong, trolls everyone, beats everyone, then he's like, all right, I gotta
just
go home, guys.
Takes and the dojo's nameplate and just pieces out.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, you, if you're good at melee, you're definitely gonna be good at ultimate, so try ultimate for once, I guess. So we're gonna move on, and that's probably gonna be the end of our gaming segment. And we're going to go on to movies. And one thing we have here is How to Train Your Dragon 3. I did see it after release, but it's just we weren't able to record right away about it. But this is basically the conclusion to the entire How to Train Your Dragon trilogy. And have you guys seen the first two by any chance?
I have seen the first one. I think I may have seen the second one as well, but I'm not 100% sure.
I loved the first one. The second one I thought was pretty good. Just pretty good. And the third one here, a lot of the good things about it, but I haven't seen it.
Love everything dragons. So that's it.
It's one of my favorite animated trilogy movies because just the wonder and magical, like the new world and everything, is just so satisfying to watch, especially in theaters. Those flying scenes are so sick to watch in theaters. And so I loved 3. I thought it was a satisfying conclusion to the entire trilogy. And I'm sad there's not going to be more, but like I'm happy with how they ended it. And if you guys haven't seen it, I highly recommend you watch all three movies. And I'm a huge fan of those series. And
I know there was a TV show or two.
There is a few, but like you could watch the movies without watching the TV shows.
But if you watch the TV shows, is there some callbacks, some tie-ins, something?
It's just some like small things in between. Like I haven't really noticed it. But there is some small things. Those TV shows are mostly for kids, right?
Is the TV show essentially the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
It's like there's like small things. There's like small little storylines that they do in between the movies. Like they might like it sort of connects some of the things that happen between 1 and 2, like some of those gaps. But it's not necessary to watch those. But if you want to, they are good. You could watch them. They are on Netflix, I believe. But the movies itself is still great to watch, even just the movies on its own. And I highly recommend How to Train Dragon trilogy. Not even just 3, the entire trilogy. They are fantastic. Mm-hmm. So we're going to move on to the Gundam live action movie, which was announced. Well, this kind of announced.
Wasn't even announced.
They kind of released the news that they hired Brian K. Vaughan as the writer.
So, Legendary Studios is a producer. Yeah. And Brian K. Vaughan is, if you don't know, probably one of the most prolific comic book writers of modern comic book industry. He's the person who wrote Saga, which is selling gangbusters. It's the big comic series that's not under Marvel or DC, but Marvel and DC are looking at it going like, man, that's outselling us and kicking our asses. He also wrote a comic called On Guard for Thee, which is America goes to war with Canada and destroys us, and it's about this ragtag group of Canadians trying to fight back. It's pretty neat and pretty cool, but honestly, I'm not that I would not be excited about this a live action Gundam movie. I think it's terrible. But Brian K. Vaughan is a fantastic writer.
That's like your hope for this movie, basically, right?
Yeah, it's just him.
Like you're reading the article, they haven't revealed really much, close to nothing about it, other than that fact that Brian K. Vaughan is going to be the writer for it. So we don't know which Gundam series they're going to adapt. Probably one of the original ones, I see.
If it is the original, and if it is Amuro, Ray, and Char and everybody, I want so badly Amuro getting slapped. I want that to
well,
be in the
hold
thing.
On, let's back up for a second, because this may never happen. Like it's the Metal Gear Solid movie that we've been waiting forever.
Technically still in development.
Yeah, exactly. So like...
There is a chance that this could get canceled because literally the only thing announced about it is the writer. Mm-hmm. There's no images, no proof, or like nothing.
Yeah. In fact, we didn't even know this movie existed until we found out that there was a writer.
I feel like there were rumors. I feel like I wasn't that surprised that it was a thing when I found out about it this morning. But yeah. Keep in mind, Warren Ellis, who's also a comic writer, he's the guy who was writing the Castlevania Netflix series, trying to make it as a movie 10 years ago. And it was in development hell for 10 years, and it became an amazing Netflix show. So, who knows? Maybe in 10 years we have an amazing Gundam show.
I don't know. But we are...
Live-action show.
I can say we're all fans of Gundam, like the series. Mm-hmm. Like we all have one of our favorite series.
Yep.
One of our series is one of our favorites in Gundam and stuff like that. But, like, I don't know what to expect from a live-action Gundam. I could see it. It's mostly going to be CG, like, in space with robots fighting. It's going to be half CG, just the characters are probably going to be live-action. Kind of like
it's going to be like Pacific Rim.
Yeah, it's going to be like Pacific Rim.
No, Gurkamo, I want them to build actual Gundams. I want them to build real Gundams for this movie.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
They have one in Japan. They could just borrow that one and make one other. And then
stop paint motion Gundam movie. That'd actually be pretty cool, but whatever.
We should make it.
A 30-foot tall stop motion Gundam
movie. It would be interesting to say the least, but I still have some excitement for it, considering it's Gundam and it's like a nostalgic reason that is. I'm kind of happy to see a resurgence.
Yeah, if I can watch this live action movie and not the actual original series or the trilogy of movies that recap it, then I'm happy.
So we're gonna go on to our next topic, which is Captain Marvel. And
yeah,
it's box office weekend,
which we just saw.
And yeah, if you want to hear our impressions, we'll have one on Thursday. We'll upload our impressions on Thursday.
Yeah.
So look forward to that.
Yep.
But anyways, Captain Marvel itself.
Coulson.
Coulson lives. So in North America, it has made $61.4 million on Friday, and it's estimated to make $156 million by Sunday. That's... which is pretty damn good.
Is there any comparisons you can find, like to movies or anything?
It is. It will rank seventh best in the MCU, behind the three Avengers movies: Black Panther, Iron Man 3, Captain America: Civil War.
That's a pretty good party to be sitting in.
Yeah.
That's estimated, right?
That's estimated.
Yeah, so I guess all those people in screaming and insisting it's going to bomb because, you know, various reasons or other, I guess that's not true. Unless this is a conspiracy. Unless Disney, you know, is paying off all these news places to say it's making more money than it is.
All I'm saying is that movie was good.
It was a great movie.
No spoilers for our
We're not going to go too deep into the impressions because we are going to have a full episode related just to our impressions of the movie. Mm-hmm. But I'm not surprised that it's in that party because it's a Marvel movie, and this phase of Marvel movies has been doing fantastic sales-wise. Ant-Man, whatever. But
did Ant-Man not sell well? Ant-Man 2?
It probably did sell well, but I could see it not being close to those numbers, right? Okay. But this phase was very popular, so I'm not surprised that it's doing this well.
Do we think because it's a Marvel movie that is doing that, or is it because it's a superhero movie is doing that? And that's just the trend. Now, if you look at Aquaman did really well too.
But was it close to these numbers?
I'm not sure.
I don't think it's close to
these numbers. It's hard to find opening weekend because whenever you look at Aquaman sales, you're going to find total sales up until now.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to find opening.
So what are current Aquaman total sales? Can you pull that
I'll
up?
Check IMDb quickly. Hold up.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try to find opening weekend sales.
Yeah. Well, just see how much. Because Aquaman came out,
months. December.
Yeah.
Right? Somewhere
around there. Oh, Aquaman posts lowest domestic box office in DCU. Oh, it was China that saved Aquaman. Remember?
Yeah.
Okay.
So its opening weekend in USA was 72 million.
Opening weekend 72 million.
Captain Marvel almost beat that on Friday alone.
Yeah, and they're at 63.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to look up Black Panther,
so
actually.
I think
Black Panther is like 200.
Marvel definitely has a huge key in the fact that it's doing so well. So it's not only just superheroes, but Marvel already has such a big reputation for being like, for what it is as a superhero series. So that's definitely gave it a huge push. And yeah, I'm not surprised it's up there.
Yep.
We saw it. We loved it.
So, Black Panther came out on a 4-day holiday, and that helped it get 241.9 million.
Black Panther was also massively popular with everyone.
That's true.
Right?
And he did a premiere in Civil War, so he already had a pretty big fan base.
Yeah. So Black Panther. Yeah. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Interesting.
And it was a pretty good lead up to Endgame. So yeah. More details on our podcast. Please stay tuned to that game.
Oh, also, by the way, that will be spoilers. Big spoilers, right? Or are we gonna have a no spoiler cast?
At the beginning we'll do a little non spoilery stuff.
Yeah.
And then we'll let you know halfway through the podcast.
We'll make it very, very clear
when
you start talking about spoilers.
Because it's hard to talk about a movie without getting spoilery.
Yeah. Because we get excited.
Exactly.
Yeah. We get excited.
Especially with Marvel, since they're all connected. So yeah
exactly.
But
another thing I wanted to mention before we move on is DC said the universe is dead.
Oh yeah.
Movie wise.
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't find a source for that, but is it true that they're giving up on like the mixed universe?
So they said they were gonna do standalone films, right, going forward. Like now, Wonder Woman,
probably for the best,
and Shazam, and the Joker movie, for example.
Joker movie technically was never part of that universe.
No, but I mean like standalone, wise.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, there is an article I'm finding that was released February 28th by Hypebeast saying the DC Universe, Extended Universe, is ending.
Mm. Okay. It's probably for the best. Aquaman was decent. Wonder Woman was great, and I didn't like that third act, but Wonder Woman was pretty great.
I could see that. Those two getting sequels. Wonder Woman is getting a sequel. Yeah, I could see Aquaman getting a sequel as well.
And Shazam, the first trailer did not impress me. The second trailer for Shazam that just came out last week, it looked a lot more promising.
Shazam doesn't impress me at all. I hate the costume design.
I hate the costume design too, but you should watch the second trailer for one joke that might make or break it for you. And you will love it. You will love it. I know you. You will love it, Eric.
It's more of a comedic movie.
For sure. It's just a comedy movie.
Yeah, but like, whereas Thor, Ragnarok was like a comedy movie.
But a legitimately good movie as well.
Yeah. Yes, it was good, right? I like how Marvel has nailed their themes.
Yeah.
Right? Even with this new Captain Marvel movie, right? They had a specific theme. Right? Mm-hmm. And they nailed that. Ragnarok had a specific theme.
They toe a very hard to get line.
Yeah,
like, almost consistently. Like there are some in my opinion, like Guardians Volume 2 was too comedic.
Yeah,
but like even when it's too comedic, it's still a better movie than Justice League, which is screw it, comedy.
Yeah, like they knew with the Thanos movie, right?
It had Thanos to be movie. The Thanos movie. The I Thanos. Forget what it's called. You know, I don't know if it wasn't very popular.
It's gonna be the Thanos movie. It's always it literally is his movie.
Okay? Yeah, no, he is the main character,
right? And so when they come up with a theme, they stick with it in terms of setting, music, the way they tell jokes, the way how serious they get. It works perfectly.
Yeah.
And I feel like DC is not able to figure... They don't know how to do that.
Yeah. You know what? It's hopefully they have good single movies.
Yeah.
It's fine.
So this
next topic, I think we should have used this as a lead-in from Gundam Live
Action. Yeah, actually, that makes a lot more sense.
You know what? This is our first podcast, guys. Growing Pains. we'll get segues.
I don't know. Like, is it a TV show or like is it in a movie?
Okay, well,
like, I'm not sure. But
Netflix has accidentally uploaded a thing on their webpage. One Piece. One Piece is great. It's a really popular anime. The description: Monkey D. Luffy sets sail with his trusty crew to find the One Piece treasure and become the ultimate pirate king, based on the manga by Ichiro Oda. Underneath that, US TV shows, TV action adventure, which means American remake for TV.
So my question is, it doesn't really say anything about live action in there. Is it live action?
Why would Netflix fund an animated US remake?
Castlevania. But I don't know. But
an animated version already exists.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's going to be live action.
I really hope not. But
it's going to be.
From the description, it doesn't show any uniqueness to it. So is it going to be like a remake of the beginning half, like, or like the first two episodes? Is
One Piece currently on Netflix?
Yes. But this is a separate page. Is it?
The show is on Netflix?
I believe so.
I don't think so.
No? I don't think it is. This could be a Funimation partnership for the dub.
It could be, but it says US TV shows, TV action adventure. That's a separate thing. And keep in mind, they were trying to do Cowboy Bebop for a while. I think they got Cowboy Bebop. They might very well try to do One Piece.
I really hope not, because like, if they're covering the main story, then I don't see how it's gonna work. Are they gonna do like 50,000 movies for that? Like, I mean,
no, like, it's just gonna be they're gonna keep making it until it's not profitable anymore and people stop watching. It's like the Death Note thing. Like, they remade Death Note live action, but even though it was critically panned, they're making a sequel because it got people talking.
Different though, it's a 24 episode series. One Piece is hitting almost 900 episodes now, so it's just like making a movie to cover the Death TV Note was series. About
40 episodes.
Doesn't make
40 episode. Episode 10, season 2. Luffy finds the One Piece. It's done.
I don't think that's
what's gonna happen.
Sorry, I don't think you're quite understanding the implications. Are you guys not ready for live action CG Gum Gum No Pistol?
Gomu Gomu.
Gomu Gomu No Pistol. No, it's gum. They're gonna. If anything, they're gonna use the four kids script.
Gum Gum.
Gum Gum No.
Or he's just gonna say Rubber Punch.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that's quite a possibility.
How gritty are they gonna make Luffy?
I have no idea.
I'm taking bets. Are they gonna merge him and Zoro's characters?
Well, we'll see what happens with it. Not much is really revealed about it, other than that.
So. I want this to be real because it's gonna be a trash fire.
Man, I just don't want. It's gonna trash.
Okay, let's look at the track record.
Name of One Piece.
Live action Bleach movie.
Was that garbage. Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Netflix, I believe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Full Metal Alchemist.
I don't think that was Netflix, but also garbage.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Full live action.
No, it is a Netflix original. Yeah.
Okay, the next thing I'm not going to name is not Netflix.
Death Note. Okay.
We've talked about that. Don't talk about it.
Next, so now, next One Piece.
Have you seen the Attack on Titan live action movies?
Oh, I forgot
they
about
are,
those.
They are, okay, I've watched a lot of live action anime stuff. That Attack on Titan stuff is probably the worst one I've ever seen.
It's hilarious.
It's not Netflix.
Hold on.
But it's so bad.
Rewind, right? I heard, because I believe the Korean version was the first one. That one was good. The live action version that Japan made
for Attack on
was
Titan?
Not, yes.
Korea made an Attack on Titan.
I believe they were one of the first ones to make.
That's news to me. Interesting.
This is what I remember reading when they were first talking about the live action movies. It's been a while now. So I'm not 100% sure. But they were saying the Korean movie was good, right? But the Japanese version was not.
Oh my god, guys. What? Okay, so I didn't find anything about Korean, but I did find an article about a new live action Attack on Titan film coming out in the US, like US made live action.
Boom, there it is. Oh my god. Breaking news. So,
live action animes are coming in full force, guys. Be prepared. Hide your kids.
No. My body is ready.
Hollywood will not be satisfied until everything under Crunchyroll is adapted. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, well. Moving on.
That's One Piece for you. And so we have one thing else, which
we have a couple things. We don't know.
Well, we have a few more things. But like this one, me and Air have watched Arrow, right? We've seen a bit of Arrow.
I've seen up to season 3. Season 3 is when
I and you watched about the same amount. I think I saw around season 3 and 4. I think you watched a little bit more than
that. Still watching.
You're still watching?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My condolences. But
there was a release that came out a few days ago saying Arrow is going to be ending at season 8.
Yes. Yeah. I saw Stephen Amell, the guy who plays Oliver Queen himself. He's like, yeah, I'm here for 10 more episodes. It's been a pleasure working with you all and stuff.
Yeah, I think he was pretty much done with the show. I think we're all pretty much done with the show.
Yeah.
Right?
He was very publicly, like, there were a couple seasons where he was very publicly talking crap about the script and some of the choices the writers were making.
I feel like he is a great Arrow, but it became too soap opery, man. Yeah, it was just like the show.
Season 1 was great. Season 2 was...
Okay, my opinion, season 1 was bad, but it was like, I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt because Growing Pains. Uh-huh. Season 2, I thought was fantastic until that last episode.
Confused.
Season 2's last episode was
probably Flash. Was terrible. Flash season 1 was really good. That came out after.
What happened in Arrow season 2?
It was Deathstroke.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So season 1 was the machine Malcolm Merlyn was doing, the earthquake. Season 2 was Deathstroke, which I really liked, and that last episode was actually really terrible for me. And then season 3 is the beginning of Oliver loving Felicity and stuff, like their relationship.
That was season 3?
Yeah.
I believe so. What about the Ra's al Ghul and the Nassal Ghul stuff?
I think that was also
season 3. That was season 3, I believe, as well. Yeah, 3 or 4. I don't know. It's all blurred together. It's all
blurred, man. But Arrow, it was good in its moments, but it had some really bad seasons.
It's time.
Yeah.
It's about time, for it to end. And I don't think any of us are very... sad that it's ending.
It was very ambitious. Like, I liked seeing that they were doing crossovers. I may not have liked it, the crossover shows, but I liked that they were pushing crossovers because it felt like a comic book event.
Who says they're not still doing that?
Well, it's only a matter of time, I think, once Arrow's done.
I don't think so.
Okay, fine, fair. They could still be doing it, but Arrow won't be a part of it. They might have Stephen Amell also, come back.
He's going to come back, right? But, however, because Flash is still going strong, they're not going to close that.
Quote, unquote.
Strong. Right? They got Batwoman coming out.
True.
She was in one of the crossover episodes.
Yeah, she had a that episode I did see because my sister was watching at the time. But that was a backdoor pilot, essentially.
Yeah, and it was also teased. It was a pre-crossover to the next crossover event. That's what this crossover was.
I understood that sentence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was really hard to put that together.
I haven't seen any of the... the TV universe for DC other than Arrow, so I have no idea about Flash or Legends of Tomorrow or anything like that.
Not DC, CW. DC's got its own show now.
Yeah, because remember, Titans and Doom Patrol, they're not part of the CW network.
They're DC.
Supergirl, actually, season 1 Supergirl was not part of the CW network, and then it came to the CW network. Same with Constantine, actually.
Constantine doesn't have
his own show, but he joined Legends Tomorrow.
Yeah. I've lost so much hope in CW. Especially after what they did to freaking my favorite Archie comics.
Here's the thing. The Riverdale, it was based on by Mark Waid, who's one of the best Daredevil writers.
Yeah.
Apparently that's fantastic. And then the show came out with the same name, Riverdale, and it was loosely based on that, and everybody hated it. So now the
Yo, if you're not watching it, season 3 is a freaking mess.
Why are you watching it?
Because it's Archie, and I've read Archie comics my whole life.
This man watches Riverdale and not The Flash. What interesting...
I watch shows that interest me, okay?
And okay, we're not going to talk about that because we know some of the stuff he watches. He watches some really bad shows. You have to bring that up with
your therapist.
Well, I don't watch bad shows and say they're good. I say they're bad.
Yeah, he just can't stop watching. That's somehow worse.
I just don't drop shows.
Yeah. That is somehow worse. That's like Stockholm Syndrome stuff.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
When we discuss anime, you guys will know more, but I don't drop shows at all.
We are talking about anime. Wow. With our next topic.
The most anime of all. Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings anime.
Is that the next topic?
The next
okay.
topic.
Sorry. Where were you reading?
Yeah, our last topic. Lord of the Rings Amazon show. Been trying to get off the ground for a while.
Yeah.
It's now confirmed to be in the second age. And if you don't know what that is, because you're like, you know, only watch movies or only have like passing interest. Second age is going to be a very, very far prequel. Like, Aragorn's ancestors, essentially the ancestors of man. And it's been a while since I read up on this. Like, I'd never actually read the books other than The Hobbit, but as I understand it, the it's going to take place in an ancient city where the original humans lived, the Numenors,
yeah, something like that, Numenors.
And essentially the plot is Sauron goes to these humans and it's like, hey, your golden city and your golden toilets and your golden rivers, they're all great, but you know what? You guys are so strong. You could, those gods of yours, you could probably take them in a fight. Go. Go. I got your back. Go,
we actually
go
don't fight know them. Where this takes place.
Second age. Oh, no, we don't. Yeah, like, we don't know where. Yeah, but yeah, that is the story of the second age. So yeah, it's going to have to like either be around that or something. Like that.
That's a big gasp of stuff that they yes. can talk about in that. Yeah, so we have to see. I'm excited.
I'm
on the fence, mind you. I'm excited. I love Lord of the Rings.
American Gods adaptation was fantastic. Good Omens adaptation looks fantastic. Those are both Amazon shows.
Jack Ryan was great as well.
Haven't seen it, but I heard good things. It's I heard really many good. Good things about it.
Surprisingly, it was really good.
Maybe Amazon Prime Video is the new Netflix, because Netflix has put out some stinkers.
Yeah.
Well, remember, well, back in the day, they used to be pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They might be the new Netflix.
We got to chug and just push out.
Oh,
and Amazon Prime also has Grand Tour, which is one of my favorite shows of all time.
Which is all soon ending as well.
Well, this is going to be the last season, but they will be doing specials. They're going to be doing specials for the next 2 years, I think. So just the 2 hour long specials where they go in different countries with used cars and stuff like that.
You really love that Top Gear show, Grand Tour show.
It's great, man. It's fantastic. Like the comedy and just like the chemistry between the three hosts is just insane. I love it.
So. Yeah, I from what I've seen for the special that I've been watching with you, yeah, I enjoy it. It reminds me of like the Top Gear
specials. It's going back into the groove of Top Gear, which is finally season one.
Has now that really it's big over, stickers. They're going back in the groove of Top Gear.
Now that it's over, but you can't expect too much from them. They're getting to 60 years old. They're pushing the age, and
well, yeah. Also, there's the one thing that we forgot to mention. Game of Thrones trailer, a proper trailer came out. I
haven't seen it actually.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I brought it up. Are you specifically avoiding it?
No. Okay. I need to watch it. It's just I haven't seen it yet.
Are you guys excited for Game of Thrones, the final season of Game of Thrones?
Yes.
I've read the books. I've read the books, and I've kind of stopped watching it, after a while. And now that they're doing something different than the books, I might watch this season to see what they're going to do.
Technically, they deviated from the books like two seasons ago.
But I want to see how they end it off, right? So I might watch it, but we'll see.
I personally did not read any of the books. I know of some differences because I looked it up because I was curious, but I didn't read any of the books. However, I felt like there was a significant drop in quality in the show after it very clearly deviated from the books. And I used to be a huge Game of Thrones fan. I am not that excited for this final season.
I still enjoy it.
Like,
we'll see how it shapes
Air
out.
Enjoys it because it has dragons.
Exactly. Boom. That's it. That's all you need, man. Dragons. Dragons and
more dragons.
And more dragons. Yeah. And fighting.
Exactly. All
right. And boobies. Yes.
less than ever, actually. Yep. But all right. So I think that's it for our topic or our week.
You guys have anything else you want to discuss quickly? Any last minute stuff?
Yes. I want to talk about Promised Neverland.
Promised Neverland?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
If the new, this season's anime show. I'm not going to go into any spoilers. All I just want to say is you need to watch that show if you're not.
It's good so far. It's
really good.
It's
great. Right?
I guess we'll eventually upload an episode talking about our impressions of
winter. This season,
Well, what else are you guys watching for anime?
I'm watching quite a bit, to be honest.
We're not gonna get to you.
I can pull up my list. I'm watching Boogie Pop.
Okay.
Which is
what are your thoughts on that so far?
Pretty good. I really like the first arc and the third arc.
Soundtrack is freaking fantastic. It's
pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. I'm watching Dororo. Which
I'm watching that too.
It's pretty decent. Pretty good.
I feel like they have some really good episodes, and then some episodes fall flat.
Yeah, there are some shots that are amazing, like cinematically, and then other shots that's like, oh yeah, typical anime. It's fine. JoJo, of course.
Most recent episode, actually.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen any.
There's a twist.
Okay. Oh no, I have seen it.
Okay.
We'll talk about it later.
JoJo, you said?
JoJo Part 5.
Yada yada.
Big fan of that. You should watch it. Guys should really watch it. Kaguya, Love Is War.
Oh, another good show. Kaguya is hilarious. You guys need to. It's so funny.
I'm caught up on the manga. Like, I've been reading the manga, and ever since like I heard about the anime, I've been forcing you guys to watch it.
I've adamantly talked about comedy shows before. Like, my favorite comedy shows of all time are mostly Gekken Shoujo Nozaki-kun and what's the other
Gintama.
One? Gintama is one, and
the swimming one.
Grand Blue is not up in that list for me.
Okay. You talk about it a lot.
Yeah, I do talk about it because last season was really funny, and Kaguya is going to be up on that list too for me.
So I have a question. You read the manga for Kaguya, you said, right?
Yeah.
How is the jokes, the punchlines, the translations from the manga to the show? Like, what do you find more funnier? Because like, for me, I feel like it's a hard time reading a joke.
Yeah, but, right? Well, the thing about the manga, they're fan translators. And the fan translators who are doing Love is War put a lot of effort into this. I said a lot of times, so we can edit out one of those lots. but yeah, they put a lot of efforts into the translations and the jokes to the point where certain jokes are actually better in the manga.
Interesting.
And I would recommend reading it because in this first season, they skipped a lot of chapters to introduce all the characters as soon as possible because the character that they introduced lately, he normally wouldn't be introduced until like really late. Like
but they can always 40. Go back because each episode kind is its own little story.
Some of those chapters, they can't go back because it involves like they can't have the character development that they've gained so far.
Interesting.
But I think I've heard going forward, they're not skipping any more chapters. They only skip chapters in the beginning. Like some of them aren't as strong, but some of them were hilarious that are unfortunately they glossed over. But it's good. Like, it's a solid anime. If you don't like manga, then there's no reason to read the manga because the anime is pretty damn good.
Yeah,
because
that was my only...
If you ever feel bored, read the manga. Like, you know,
whatever. Yeah.
I'm also watching Mob Psycho 100, which
we're all good watching. Good show. Oh, my God.
Promised Neverland, of course. And my favorite show of the season, which is Run with the Wind. And well,
is that really this season? It's a continuation of previous season.
True, I guess. I don't know.
But I will say this. Run of the Wind has probably some of the best cinema, like directing?
directing? I hate I hate sports animes. This is a fantastic anime. And it's about running, which I don't do. Clearly, look at me. But
well, they can't see you.
Oh.
He's a short blob. Just picture that.
That's an interesting description. Let's just gloss right past that. Hey, but,
they can't see him.
Run of the Wind is a show that me and Gulzar will probably highly recommend to any of you guys
to
watch.
We will never stop recommending it.
Yes.
Haiji, best boy of all time in any anime I've ever seen. Holy crap. What are you guys... Anything I mentioned... Or sorry, anything that I did not mention that you're watching?
No. I'm not watching some of that stuff that you're watching, but Dororo, I have to watch Boogie Pop. But Mob Psycho and Neverland are the two shows, and Kaguya are the three shows that I need the episodes.
You need them in your veins.
Yeah, exactly.
For this season. I'm watching quite a bit.
Why?
I'm not going to go over to the whole list because it's,
you know,
it's
just... We should save this for our
end. I'll save it for then, and then I'll keep you guys on a cliffhanger to know what Gurkomo is watching.
Bad shows. Very bad shows. I'll tell you right now.
Very bad shows.
I will ruin this cliffhanger. Yeah. Some 2 out of 10s of his own admission. Yeah. You know what he said about Riverdale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I think we went over all our topics that we wanted to go over this week.
Yep.
All right. I guess if you're still around at the end, you can expect a Captain Marvel upload where we talk about
what we thought, our impressions, spoiler-free and spoiler-ish, this Thursday. We
normally check us out on Instagram, Day One Update Cast, right? We're also on Twitter and Facebook. And hit us up on our email at dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com. That's O-N-E for one. So Day One Update Cast.
And I want to say thank you all for listening to us and listening to our rants about different games, movies, and TV shows. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you guys next time.
Oh, and sorry, before you hit, there's one thing I did forget. We normally have this long form every 2 weeks. Next week, we will break that pattern our very first week, and we will have another long form next week. I just wanted to mention that. We're out the gate. We're breaking our promises. So.
We never made a promise to begin with, okay?
If that isn't indicative of how this podcast is going to be run, then I don't know what.
Goodbye. Anyways, thank you guys again, and see you guys next time.